the mic is on, right? I'll pick it up so you can hear me. Well, first, friends, I want to say you will find that I have fiendishly finagled every 5-minute foundation for February. And, yep, I like alliterations. So somehow I did, anyway. But today's 5-minute foundation is on sharing our faith, which is also known as the Great Commission. And there's some scripture references that really emphasize that or emphasize the importance of it. First, Matthew 28:18, when Christ says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Also, in 1 Peter 3:15, Christ tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. As believers, we are called to share our faith. This is done primarily through two means. The first being our lifestyle evangelism, which is basically living our faith right out in front of everybody. It's being who you are, being the Christian, being the believer in Christ that you are in the world, as you live in the world. And the second is a personal testimony, which is simply an oral presentation of the facts surrounding your life. One of the greatest examples of this in Scripture, which I really love, is the blind man healed by Jesus in John 9. The religious leaders were examining him after his healing, and they were asking theological and philosophical questions. And I just love this because it's such a perfect example of the simplicity of God confounding the wisdom of man. So the leaders were looking for something to refute. They were looking for an argument. Instead, the formerly blind man just simply says, and I like Tom's paraphrase for this, I just don't know about that stuff, but one thing I know is I was blind and now I see. And there's just really no rebuttal for that, which is so great. So what is the lesson from this? You don't have to know everything. You have to know one thing, and that is your personal story in order to you just share what you know. So just when you thought I was going to stay on track, let me take the opportunity to go off script a little bit here. You may be familiar with the Romans Road to Salvation. For decades, I was hung up on the need to have that memorized to share my faith. But I realized I didn't sound genuine because I was concentrating so hard to try to get it right that it just sounded canned and not original and not genuine. So I abandoned the Romans Road witness. Honestly, it was so liberating the first time Tom shared this message. I realized I can simply share my faith in Jesus from a genuine and personal experience. Now, that's something I can do without studying and memorization and having to get it right. So there you have it. I've just trashed perhaps the greatest evangelical tool in all history. And again, Pastor Jay is nervously wondering where I'm going with this. But let me be clear. The Romans Road is a wonderful way to present the need and the way for salvation. For me, it's more a matter of something that is a reference. After talking with someone for a while, maybe say, "Hey, there's this thing called the Romans Road. Do you mind if I pull it up on my phone or on my laptop? Or maybe even have it printed on a piece of paper." But present it as the tool that it is, not the solution or not the end all or not the thing, you know. And now back to our regularly scheduled program. Developing a personal testimony. The simplest way to do that is think about three points or three things that you want to try to do. And the first is my attitudes and actions before I became a Christian. The second is the circumstances that surrounded my conversion. And the third is the changes that took place in my attitudes and actions after I received Christ. Ideally, you would keep it short to maybe 3 minutes or so. And if you will humor me, I'm not sure you have a choice, this seems like a good opportunity for me to share a bit of my testimony. In high school, I was a hypocrite. The person I was at school was a very different person from whom I was at home and at church. In school, I was rude, used awful language, was influenced way too much by the wrong people, and had a horrible attitude towards girls and women. One day, it struck me what a hypocrite I was. I didn't like who I was at school. I made a conscious decision to be the person in school that I was in church. While I didn't specifically accept Christ as Savior at that point, I did decide on some level to pursue him, and there was a distinct difference in who I was, in school in particular, and that was noticed by many people. Some of my friends didn't want anything to do with me, and some of my associates became some of my closest friends. It was about 10 months later that I responded to an altar call to specifically accept Christ as my Savior. That's always left me wondering, just a little curious, what my fate would have been had I died during that 10 months. But I know now what my fate will be. The one who made the earth and all that is in it in 7 days has been preparing a place for me for over 2,000 years, and one day I will join him there. And finally, friends, you will find new faces featured in future 5-Minute Foundation. So, farewell.
Join us for one last song here.
My wireless mic is really loud. If you would, please. Thank you. Did you notice we had some visitors in church this morning?
So good morning. Yeah, we're not supposed to be here. Well, no, we are supposed to be here. You know, there's a story in the book of Acts. It's Paul, and he's trying to go to Asia. And it says specifically several times that the Spirit would not allow it. Now, we don't know what actually happened. We don't know how that took place. All we know is that Paul had one agenda and God had another. So Judy was not feeling well, and we really decided that it would be best for us to come home, only completing 2/3 of our agenda. But wanted to thank you, and I wanted to just read this to you as you have invested in this. This is just one response we got from a lady named Jean, and we've known Jean for more than 40 years probably, a powerful woman of God with her husband, and now she's in an independent living place, and she's not in the ministry, and nobody knows who she is. And she actually is the one who probably inspired Judy and I to continue doing what we're doing. Just let me read this really quickly for you. Dear Tom, having you and Judy spend the afternoon with me has been one of the happiest days in months and months. You can't imagine how wonderful it was to be able to talk to you about experiences that no one else that I know here could ever relate to in any way. No one here in my life ever knew me except as the woman who lives in apartment 127. My heart was touched with a special way by your visit. I guess for the afternoon I was Pastor Gene again, a role that I miss so very much. However, the Lord knows where I am, and not only could we talk about spiritual things, but even politics. Whoops. I really miss having someone who believes and thinks the same way that I do. Being with you and Judy revitalized me. I feel filled with the Spirit again. Thank you all for patiently listening to me relive memories of what used to be, and for being someone I could talk to who understood my need and my loneliness in my current mission field. I sometimes wonder if this is how Jesus must have felt when he walked on the earth, surrounded by people who didn't understand him and his message. I love the people here, don't get me wrong. They all have more problems than you can imagine. So many are alone, have lost their spouses, given up their friends and homes, and thrust into a place where they don't know anyone. It's so sad, and I know that I am in the center of God's will right now. I often think that Jesus must have felt alone when he walked on the earth. No one, not even his disciples, understood him. Very few people speak Christianese. But though tonight I'm refreshed and revitalized and refilled with the Spirit because you and Judy reached out to me with the love of Jesus. You always seem to show up at the right time. I love having lunch with you and your visit. Such a great blessing. Please keep me in your prayers. Blessing and love to you and Judy, Pastor Gene. So thank you for helping us get there.
Well, this is the third Sunday of each month is our Mission Sunday, which makes it a perfect time for you to come, Justin. So come on up. This is Justin Brubaker, and he and a team are Mexico missions. Some of you know Jason Tutak, and I think some of his sons are going as well. And so go ahead and share a little bit about what you guys are doing.
All righty. Well, he mentioned it, but my name's Justin Brubaker. I'm from Ulysses, PA, so not too far away. And here to talk about a mission trip that was coming up March 9th to 15th. I don't know if we can pull up the little slideshow we put together. I am personally going for the second time to Tapascalula, Mexico. We are working on building a church that had suffered some earthquake damage back in 2019. So there is a picture of some of the scenery from the town. I guess we can scooch on over to the next slide, maybe. Well, he's working on that. Oh, there we go. So you can see it started back in 2016. The guy in Mexico, Javier Martinez, is the pastor of the church, and we work with a guy named Carl Hoyer. He's from the Syracuse, New York area, and they started working together in 2016, but in 2019, they started to raise support to build a church in Tapascalula because there were no churches, and they started funding because there was an earthquake, and it damaged kind of what they had set up as a church to begin with. And it's not a very prosperous region, so there's not a lot of money to be had. So right now the congregation is a bunch of college students that actually live with the pastor, and they make money by making food and selling it. So to put a face to the name, we'll go to the next slide, and that is Carl and his wife Rachel and their family. So he's kind of the guy that first had the connection and has set up teams to go down. Overall, this will be the third team going down. Like I said, this will be the second time I'm going, and then actually my older brother's here with me today, and he's going down for the first time. We'll go to the next slide. You can see some pictures on the left is the progress as of June. They have some walls up and whatnot. We've got to add on to that. The middle picture is like right beside the church. That's the town's kind of, I guess, entrance, a big archway. And then on the right is a water cistern that they built during the dry season. So our plan is to leave, I think we're leaving the 8th. Pretty late. We're going to go to Buffalo and fly out and arrive in Oaxaca, and then we have a two-hour van ride over a lot of mountainous terrain to get to this little town. Last year, our main goal was to finish digging the foundation for the building. There had been one team previous, but we were kind of working on finishing what they started, so we did the foundation, poured the concrete, all that sort of stuff, and now, like I said, there's going to be walls that we're going to be adding on to. So the next slide there, those would be pictures from the first team. We are not in there, but they are the ones starting the construction. You can kind of read there what is going on. Let's see what's going on in there. The first team was big. It was 21 people, and they were all from Virginia and New York, kind of all over, and they went down in June of 23. And then last year was a group of 13 of us, and we were all from the Pennsylvania, New York area, and, you know, we finished the foundation. And then this year we're just going to continue on whatever they need. So the next couple slides are going to be just kind of the area, a little bit of scenery. It is a very beautiful spot. It was kind of hot last year, but, you know, whatever. It's not too bad. So I guess you can just kind of scroll through those a little bit. That picture there is kind of part of the foundation. You can see the walls and whatnot we were working on the edges where the girl on the right is we're digging a ditch there and pouring concrete. I guess the next one. Go. That was our team that went down. So yeah, there was, if I can count, I think there was 13 of us. Only a handful of the original team is going down. I think about, actually, well, most of us, I guess. A few of them couldn't quite make it. A couple of them are engaged and whatever, so they don't want to they got other stuff to worry about. So we'll move on to the next one. And yep, those are just pictures of working in the ditch. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Barney Farms, but a good buddy of mine, Eli Barney, went down with me, and that's him and my friend Ethan digging in the ditches throughout the day. I guess you can keep going through. Yep, just it was hard work. They don't have machinery, very limited power tools. It was just all by hand, chipping it out, swinging axes. A lot of hard work, but it pays off when you know you're building the kingdom of God. So go to the next one. We had to be ingenuitous with getting rocks down, build a little slide for them, and we're just inventing things as we go. I guess the next one, and we got Ben in the ditch there. It's a little bit crude concrete pouring if you ever work in construction, but you know, it gets the job done. You move on there. Oh, there's Silas. We were having to make little rebar squares for the main support towers. So that was, we each got to make one and kind of make it a picture frame and take a goofy picture or whatever. Go to the next one. And that's Pastor Alfredo. We're working on building those towers. See, next one. Yep, and that's just the whole crew kind of trying to catch shade when you can. Go to the next one. Yep, there's Eli and Ethan again. I guess they didn't really get too many. Derek didn't put too many pictures of me working in here, but I was working, you know. We'll go to the next slide. Now, I haven't seen this, but this was the water cistern they built. They really have dry seasons and don't get a lot of rain, so they wanted to have some good water storage. So they built that this past year. We'll go to the next one. And that is, this is kind of the recent progress. They have walls up. I'm looking forward to seeing it. All I've seen is pictures, so really looking forward to seeing what's been done. We'll go to the next one. I think those are the lines where walls need to go. So I'm assuming that's where we're going to be putting up blocks and, building walls. We'll go to the next one. There was Alfredo. He's kind of the head guy. Next slide there. And that is in the bakery. I guess they put the columns right through the floor. So that'll be something fun to work with. And we'll go to the next one. And, this is how it's going to be held together. And that next slide there. So this is our team that's going. Like Pastor Dave said, you might know Jason Tutak. He's got his son Isaiah and Silas going. And then you got me and my brother Trevor, which is here today. And then those bottom three fellows, I don't know. I do know Ben. He was on the last trip. And then I'm sure you guys remember Derek. He's kind of hard to forget. He's my younger brother. So then I guess the next slide is going to be our funding goal. We look for about $1,500 per person. Tickets this year were a little bit cheaper, but still not great. We did buy our tickets, but we have, I think it was $8,000 or something that we need to pay off really sooner rather than later. And then all the leftover money, last year we had, God really worked. We had like $27,000 come in, and we were looking for like $15,000. So we were able to give them all the leftover money to continue building with materials, and there was a few other needs in the community that we were able to help out with. And then the next slide there, that might be the last one. Our biggest thing we need is prayer. We would appreciate your prayers. That goes a long way, and financial giving is great, but prayers in the spiritual realm, it's not a Christian community. We're fighting just the spiritual realm all the time. And to combat that, in evenings after we finish working for the day, we'll clean up and we'll go to the town square where there's like a nice little park, and we try to evangelize the kids. There's like a basketball court, and we get involved with playing around with them, and then we try to minister to them. It's a little hard. I don't know Spanish. I don't think any of the crew really does. We do a little bit, but last year we had a great translator, hoping that she's able to make it again. But yeah, if you can pray for us, we would really appreciate it. Like I said, it's coming up really soon, March 9th, so we only have a couple more weeks to kind of get ready. I mean, it is only a week, but we're going to Mexico. So anyhow, that I think is all I have for you. I won't take up any more of your time, but I appreciate you letting me come and tell you about our trip.
Sure. Thank you. So if you would please keep them in your prayers as they prepare to go. And you come to church in the morning and you don't think about, you know, we have a building, we have a roof, and then we have people meeting in other places of the world under a tree or under a shed or under so it's a wonderful thing for these people to get. Hopefully we'll finally get to have a church building. So yeah, what a wonderful gift. So God bless you guys. If you came today and the Lord's spoken to you and you want to support these guys and you didn't come prepared today, you can forward that to us and we'll send that on to them.
I forgot to mention there are flyers in the back on that little table there. Feel free to take them. That has all the information on how to give and kind of the journey of the trip.
Yeah, very nice, nicely done brochures of the team and what they're planning to do. So, yeah, that's great. Well, I knew Carl when he was this high, when he was this tall. I watched him in Bible Character Day at Wellsville Christian School. Oh, that's dating me. Thank you for that.
He grew up here.
Yeah, Carl grew up in this church. Yeah, this was his church. Yeah. I'd like to invite Andy and Heather Myers to come on up for just a moment. If you haven't noticed, Andy and Heather are really finding their fit in the body here. But one thing we would like to do today is receive them as members in the church. And church membership has nothing to do with your salvation. It has nothing to do with anything. It has everything to do with New York State law and our 503C or whatever that. What's the right abbreviation, Ed? Is that? Well, it's our nonprofit status, and we have a constitution and an order, and if you're a member, you get to have voting privilege with our business meetings and whatever. So there are some benefits to being a member, but it does not mean that you are saved if you become a member of the church. But we're thrilled to have them taking that step. If there's any others, we didn't offer an official membership class this year. If you're looking at them and thinking, gee, I want to be a member too, please come and talk to me. I'd be happy to meet with you and discuss that. I'd like to ask any of the members of the board if you would come up for just a moment. And we're going to have you guys first sign the official book. And you can sign and date that. It is the 23rd. Okay, come on over. I want to ask the board to come gather around and let's pray for this couple and believe God to move. And we want to pray that they get water. The water in their house quit working, is well died.
Amen.
So yeah, they need water. So we're gonna pray for spiritual and physical water for you guys. Just feel free to lead out as you feel like, guys. Thank you, Lord. We give you thanks and praise, Lord.
Father, sometimes we think that our lives are just drifting along, and then, Lord, you move. We thank you, Lord, for Andy and Heather. Daniel and Lord, we thank you for them, for bringing them to be among us. And we think of that scripture that says you place the members in the body as it pleases you. Thank you, Lord, for these members, these covenant partners with us in this body, Lord, as we seek to do your will and see your kingdom come in this area. Lord, we just pray that you bless them, Lord. Bless them in their commitments and their relationships and, Lord, the things that you're laying upon their heart that we don't even know about yet. Lord, we just thank you. And Lord, we just commit them to you, Lord, in this new, I want to call it a role, but this new situation that they're in now, being part of our church in an official capacity. We thank you for it, Lord.
I know there's some testimonies out there. People have been talking to me. So, Pat, before you make the long trip back.
Stand right here.
Sure.
Well, folks, we had an interesting week for sure, and it's certainly been an interesting. I'm going to get up here. I can see your faces. Who wants to talk to somebody's back of their head? That's better. Okay. That's better. Well, anyway, I think a lot of you have been knowing some of the situations that have been going on in my life. Thank you for your prayers. And, they're there. And I felt them. It's been quite a week. It's been longer than quite a week, but this week was not so easy. And, life goes on. We had court on Tuesday. My wife and I are down at court getting ready to fire that up, and what happens? Phone rings. It's the alarm system at our house. Ooh, what's going on here? We got a fire. Got a fire. Can you, and so Denise quickly goes home. She's faster than I am. And fire department was there. We had left stove gloves on the wood stove, and they were on fire. Yeah. So fortunately, the alarm picked it up, and just smoke in the house. But, I guess what this story is all about, it has to be, if you're going to tell a story, you might as well turn it into a testimony. When you pray for people, and we do, we're a praying church, we're here all the time, and Sundays we pray it. Whenever we're here, we're praying, and I hope we're praying when we're home. Where, you think, hey, God, when you pray, you ever wonder, well, I've been praying for this for a long time, God. I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. Well, that's not the way it works, the way I feel. Just keep praying and praising the Lord. Oh, my gosh. His idea for us are far different maybe from what our idea is for us. I'm stumbling just a little bit. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is, those prayers are up there. And don't think that people that need them don't feel them. Kevin, you felt them. And don't worry, they're still coming your way. But when we pray, God listens. There's a song out there, you probably heard it on Christian radio, looks like somebody prayed, sounds like somebody prayed. Well, this is a testimony that those prayers, maybe you prayed for my health. I'll keep doing that. But I think the fact is that God listens, and he watches over us, he dances over us. We're unaware.
Amen.
Anyway, thank you, Lord. Amen. Sorry to ramble.
Okay, so Pastor Dave came up to me today and said, how are you doing with your swollen saliva gland from 2 weeks ago? Well, that's all healed. Took the last antibiotic. It was horrible. It was like taking a golf ball, cut it in half, and slapping it right there. That's how big that was. It was so painful. Anyways, that they put me on a prescription. And I took the last pill, and the next morning I woke up completely covered in hives. I'm like, what is this all about? So I started checking things out. You know, we gone out to Chinese's or something there. Now, I have a very serious nickel allergy that I've had since I was a teenager. So when I decided to look up the antibiotic that I had taken for 10 days has a nickel coating to help the antibiotic work really well, which apparently it did. It was pretty miserable. So then I was like, okay, well, I can't take Benadryl. Maybe I could take put hydrocortisone on it. So I got the hydrocortisone. My sister calls me and says what's going on and da-da-da. She then looks it up and then calls me back and says, so just make sure that whatever you take doesn't have neomycin in it. So I look on it, it says 100% hydrocortisone. Well, something just said to me, well, just because it says that, do we really know that? So I wrote in my search engine, does hydrocortisone cream have neomycin? And yes, it does, and people with nickel allergy should not use it. So the bottom line of all of it is I literally took nothing except for vitamins that it said would help. And God, you know, like Pat said, everything is really a testimony. God gave us an immune system. And it just always blows me away how our immune system, it's like there's this little battle going on inside you. These soldiers are all marching to that area. And my son said, yeah, and it's not bad enough, Mom, that you got them fighting an infection in you, but now you trigger off an allergy. Those poor little soldiers are like working overtime. But our immune systems really are God-given. They really are. And we are truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. So that's my testimony, and I'm no longer itchy today.
Yay.
I'm glad you're not itchy.
I just want to give God the glory. It's been a rough month also for us. On the 6th, Kevin's kidneys were not functioning right. I got him to the hospital on Tuesday. By Thursday morning, his kidneys were only working at 31%. So a specialist came in and they did surgery. They put 3 stents in and they removed a large tumor from his bladder. We're still waiting on the pathology reports on that. But now as of Wednesday, his kidneys are back up to working at 54% when we saw the kidney specialist. So he's going to be going to specialist, but I just give God the glory for bringing Kevin through. And in the meantime, when he's in the hospital, his blood pressure spiked to like 211 over 110. And God has just brought us through, and then we got home. He got home. We ended up with the flu. So I just give God the glory in the healing that He has done, and all the prayers. I just thank you.
I would like to extend a prayer to all the people in here that sent them to our home, and prayer does work. Well, I was scared to death, but I knew I had the Lord working for me. And I knew my church was behind me. And I don't know about you guys, but the Lord is the ultimate medicine. And you guys are too. And I am very fortunate. I have a wonderful wife that takes good care of me, although I did scare her to death. I'm still under the microscope. And they're going to keep an eye on me. But they got it all, and there's no cancer markers in my blood. So,
amen.
I'll keep you updated. Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right. Glory to God. We are actually going to get to the Word a little bit here, but that's okay. We have just a couple of quick things I'd like to mention for prayer. Our brother Jaziel Lopez and his wife Gabby were hoping to be here today. We were going to get to meet his wife, but their Toyota Corolla got rear-ended and totaled, and so Jazeel's flew down this morning. His wife is flying down later. He's got to find another car. So remember to please pray for them. Some of you might remember Melanie Ingalls. She attended the church here for a number of years, and she took a fall, and she's in Rochester. As far as I know, nothing was broken, but she's got a lot of health needs. Our sister Judy is back, and it takes a little while, though, to rebound, and so we're going to pray for restoration and strength for you, sister. And Rita mentioned to me her husband Tony's sister, Debbie Welpley, struggling with colitis, and asked that we pray for that. Father, we thank you for our brother Jazeel and for Gabby, and Lord, thank you for what you're doing in their life. I pray that you would restore them a car, help them, Father, and Lord, for their future, we pray that you would lead and guide them in the path that they have. You know our brother's need for employment and all of the needs of his family. God, we pray that you would reach and that you would do a great and mighty thing in his life and in his family's life. We trust you to lead them. We pray that you would restore our sister Judy, rejuvenate her system, Lord. For our sister Melanie, Lord, from this fall, we pray that you would heal her with anything that was injured in that fall. We believe that you are the great physician and you can touch her. And for Debbie, we pray that you would just destroy this cellulitis in her body, Lord. Deliver her from that painful affliction. Pray that you would give her grace and heal her body. We thank you for it. We thank you for you are the God that answers. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, we've been looking at the tabernacle in the wilderness, and I'm going to just kind of encapsulate a little bit of what I had planned to share today. But go ahead, Adam. You can bring up my PowerPoint. I don't want the video yet. But the first week we looked at the bronze altar that talked about God's judgment for sin and the Jewish blood sacrifices that prefigured Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Last week we talked about, the week before, we looked at the gate and the outer court, and we saw that that gate represented Jesus as the only way into the presence of God. And the white linen surrounding the tabernacle represented the righteousness of God that we receive when we enter the gate and accept the sacrifice of Jesus. That offering on the cross represented by the brazen altar. Today I want to look at the next article that we come to in the tabernacle, and that is the bronze laver. And as I look at this, I'm continually amazed. Everything in the tabernacle points to Jesus, and it points to him over and over, and his work and the work of God in the body of Christ, all of it. As the priest entered the gate of the tabernacle to worship Almighty God and to serve, he first came to the brazen altar that we talked about, a burnt offering, a picture of that substitutionary death, the bloody place, the awful bloody place where those sacrifices were poured out day after day, month and year after year, as the people, where the people faced the consequence of their sin. They had to face the awful consequence of their sin, bringing a living, breathing, warm animal in, and they were the one that had to offer that animal up. They're the ones that had to present it there, and they're the ones that had to stand there and watch that animal die and watch its blood poured out. And I believe God designed it that way to show the ugliness, blackness of sin. And that's the place of our justification by faith. I'm trying to move on and I can't seem to do it, but it's playing me a lovely sound. So, well, oh, you know why? I was pushing the wrong button, Adam. John and
John 19:30, the most profound thing, Jesus said, "It is finished." His sacrifice on the cross, it was done. It was finished. That's our justification. And Hebrews 6:1, therefore, I skipped a verse. That wasn't what I wanted to talk about yet. You don't get to see that yet. So this settles our salvation, and can we make that just absolutely plain and clear? We're in the tabernacle. When you come in through that gate of Jesus, you receive his sacrifice. You are surrounded by that white linen, his righteousness. His righteousness, you're saved, and that's the end of the story, period. We are found in Christ. And even though no further progress has been made into the tabernacle so far, everyone who has stopped at the brazen altar and received Christ by faith, you're saved. You're saved, period. It's a finished work. But can I say, too, that that's also only the beginning? It's the start. Salvation begins at the cross, but it doesn't end there. Now, I'm not saying that we have to add anything to our salvation, but you'll understand. The redeemed believer is now to go on into the next step and the next step and the next step until the final victory where we rest under the Shekinah glory of God in the Holy of Holies. Please keep in mind, though, that there's no separation of the different parts of our salvation. When we come to faith, we have it all. We have it. We have it. It's done. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. It's finished. It is done. But salvation does not end at the cross. We receive a new birth, but it's the beginning as a baby. And God knows that as a baby, there's going to be poopy diapers. He knows that. He knows it. That's just the way it is. And in the natural and the spiritual. And we don't want to remain babies, but we want to go on to spiritual maturity. And that was what that last verse was. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. So after the brazen altar that the believer comes to, next is the bronze laver of cleansing. Adam, go ahead and run that video, if you would. It's that other tab in the, yep. If you just minimize this, yeah, there you go. And it's the second tab up there right next to that. Yep, that, you got it.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed, throughout their generations.
So the laver's function was to, it can go away. The laver's function was the washing of the hands and the feet of the priests continually as they served in the tabernacle. So at the altar, the sinner is justified once and for all based on Jesus' blood. But then at the laver, he's repeatedly cleansed from the defilement of the world. And the altar points to justification, but the laver points to the sanctifying work of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Both the power of the Word of God and the leading of the Spirit of God. The laver was made of solid bronze or brass, it said in the video. But remember that bronze speaks of strength and withstanding the judgment by fire. And water is symbolic of the Word of God. Ephesians 5:25 and 26, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing with water by the word. So at the altar, the sin's penalty was paid. At the laver, we're washed and we're changed. The laver was made of, it says, mirrors of the women of Israel that they probably carried away from Egypt. Exodus 38:8. They were made from those mirrors. And the mirrors aren't like what we think of today as like a piece of reflective glass. They were actually polished bronze. It was a polished metal. So they took those and melted them down and created this laver. Isn't it interesting that the mirrors that were used for the glorification of the flesh and a kind of a symbol of, you know, them looking at themselves, what they carried from Egypt and how they used that for maybe their own vanity or pride. The women gave them up to be made into a laver to cleanse people. It's interesting that that's mentioned specifically in the scriptures. But it speaks of separation from the flesh and from the world and the old nature of sin. Taking that old nature, putting it aside, and then receiving that cleansing that God has for us. After a person is saved, they need to learn to be separated from the old nature. Have you discovered that? The old nature that wants to come back and wants to impact you. You're a believer, you're a Christian, you've gotten saved and you're forgiven, but there's this thing that works in you. And wouldn't it be horrible if God just saved and forgave us and left us the way we were? But that's not the case. He wants to transform our lives, and he does that through that washing at the laver. Oh, glory to his name. The laver contained water, and I want to tell you that water that they washed in is a picture of the Word of God that cleanses and sanctifies us. I want to encourage you, the water of the Word is your lifeline in this world. You need to be in that Word every single day, and I'm preaching to myself. I have to be in it. We have to be in the Word of God. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, have that Bible right near you. I'm not going to tell you that has to be the first thing you do in the day, but I know if I don't do it first thing in the day, I think, oh, I'll do it later. Suddenly, I'm going to bed at night, and I didn't do it. You've got to get into the Word. We're in a place today where we need to be continually washed by that wonderful Word of God. John 15:3, you are already clean because of the Word I have spoken to you. John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. And I like the New Living Translation for this one. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your Word, which is truth. Sanctification happens at the laver. That being made holy. One more. To sanctify her again, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. Now, all of the furniture in the tabernacle had very, very specific measurements. Everything was detailed right down to the minutia, except for the laver. When you read in Scripture, there are no dimensions for the laver. There's no instructions about how big to make it, how wide to make it, how tall to make it. It just says, make a laver. Isn't that fascinating? This speaks to the limitless effect of the Word of God. Limitless. Absolutely limitless. There's no dimensions because it is dimensionless. It's dimensionless. When you get into the Word, it transforms you. It washes you. You're listening to the Word right now, and it's having that effect on you. It's having that effect on me. There was no floor in the tabernacle in the wilderness, so only a dirt floor. And there were no chairs built in there for the priests to sit down. So they were constantly standing and walking and getting dirty constantly. For us, they would constantly be going to the labor and cleaning up, washing up. For us in our walk in the world, including our service to the Lord, we get dirty. We get saved and justified, and we have the Holy Spirit to lead us, but we're still in the world and in the flesh. And the defilement of sin gets on us. However, we have a limitless, infinite supply of the power of the Word of God to wash us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't mean that we suddenly become lost if we do something wrong and then we get saved again. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a sanctifying walk. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, remember that scene? They knew exactly what that meant. That was a direct picture of what the priests did in the tabernacle. Jesus went and he washed their feet. And Peter says, well, don't just wash my feet. He says, no, you can't wash my feet. And then in verse 9 he says, not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well. I need a whole bath, Lord. And what does Jesus say? Whoever has already bathed needs only to wash his feet, and he will be completely clean. The priests in the tabernacle were given a whole bath when they entered the priesthood. They went through a whole ceremonial washing. But on the basis of a blood sacrifice. But this admitted them into the tabernacle, or us into Christ. But in his service in the tabernacle, he was constantly washing in the laver. Constant washing. And we wash in the Word. Immerse yourself. I can't say it enough. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Get it in you. Read it or listen to it. Open your phone, turn it, I'll give you websites you can go, you can hit the play button and listen to it. You can listen to it in your car, in your house, you can read it, but get that word into you. And I want to encourage you too that water is also figurative of the Holy Spirit. And the labor, remember we talked about it being limitless. What does the Scripture say about the Spirit of God? John 3:34, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit, limitless. The Holy Spirit is limitless. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. God wants to pour out his limitless Spirit on you. And there's no end to it. The water that Ezekiel saw first came up. The angel led him out into the river of God, and first it was up to his ankles, then it was up to this high, then his waist, and then pretty soon it was just water that you could only swim in. Limitless, limitless. Walk deeper with him. Take another step. Go deeper in the Spirit with him. Spend that time with him. Go deeper. Ask him to fill you fuller. He wants to give you a full, overflowing baptism. Acts 2:16 and 17. Peter says, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will see visions. Your young men will dream dreams. And John 7:30, I'm going to jump to the middle. Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. He was speaking about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And boy, did they. They, boy, did they receive it. And boy, does God want to pour it out on you in abundance. Brother Denny, I hear the Lord saying something to me for you today. And it's the funniest word. I don't know what it means. I hear the Lord saying He wants to recharge your battery. I don't know what that means, except to say that I feel like there's like a place in your life where it feels like the power's gone out. There's no power there. And God wants to recharge your battery. I hear Him saying that. He's going to do it. And as you seek His face, He's going to move. He's going to move in might. Eric Russo. I'm reminded, as I'm standing here, I'm remembering the don't laugh. It's from that Disney movie, The Lion King, where the little monkey says, you are not what you were meant to become, or there's so much more than what you have become. And I hear God saying that to you. There's so much more than where you are. God wants to propel you forward. He doesn't want you to be stuck where you are. I feel like God wants to lift you up and thrust you forward, push you into a new place, a new thing that where you're not. I don't want to say you're stuck, but that's kind of what I'm hearing in my spirit. God wants to unstick you and propel you forward into something, into a place and a way that you have not been before. Ooh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. God is so good. Father, we thank You for the limitless power of Your Spirit. Lord, it's just abundant. Lord, Your Word is abundant. Your Spirit is abundant. Father, we thank You. You are a liberal God. And Father, I pray that You would so stir up a hunger, a greater hunger in us for Your Word that washes us, that gets all the junk of the world, helps us to get our heart and our mind in right priority and back in right focus upon You as we seek You in Your Word, Father, and that Word washes us and changes us and sanctifies us, and then that Spirit of God comes in and gives us the power to live a godly life, to be witnesses for You, to be able to move. Father, I pray that You would pour out Your Spirit in greater measure, Father, upon all of our hearts that at times feel dry and thirsty. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that You would do it. And Lord, I want to thank You for our brothers that came today and shared their mission. Lord, I pray, God, that You would bless them, that You would provide for them, that You would bless that work that they do in Mexico. And God, I pray that the walls of that building would get up and they'd get the roof on that thing. Lord, in Jesus' name, that You'd multiply their efforts and help them to do three times more than they should be able to do in the natural. Accelerate it. Give them grace, Lord. And multiply those finances, Lord. Pour it out and bless them. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you need prayer, we've gone a little late. Thank you for being patient. We had a lot to do today. If you're here today and you need prayer, someone will be here to pray for you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Amen.